God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet the Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aroo! It's your ghost dog poet back in the slipstream, rising from the dead pools of a drowning culture, hovering in the saucer pod above the Gulf of Mexico. Through the cockpit lenses, via frequencies unknown to planet Earth, I can look down into the waters and see agents from Halliburton and British Petroleum performing mutual frottage in celebration of the most epic environmental disaster ever bestowed upon humanity, while attributing the blame to the public's thirst for oil and simultaneously perp-walking the government into capping all financial judgments against them at $1.380 and two coffees to go. But first, a word from our announcer, folks. I apologize for having played truant a time or two in recent weeks. I plead insanity, because that is what it felt like at the time. I had no idea what was happening to me and no way to function while in the process of attempting to understand it. Then, like an express train from the underworld, it came roaring up my spinal column and rang the bell at the top of my Sahasrara chakra. Yes, good people, I was having a major Kundalini episode. I had had one years before, and it had completely rewritten my schematic and led me through states of being that left their imprint on everything in my life until the present day. What I thought was one thing turned out to be something else. This time the situation is beyond my being able to talk about it, so I won't. But I will say that in the past 9 days, I've slept about a total of 10 hours on the outside. During this time, I've been filled with energy, taking care of many things that were not possible before. As I understand it, this is only the beginning, so we'll just have to see what the future holds when it turns into the present. It may or may not have been the right thing to mention this, but since it is the truth, and since I feel I have to tell you something, it leaves me with the only option I ever have. You can fill in the blanks. As eccentric as some of you may see me, I take my responsibilities seriously. If I say I'm going to do something, it's job one in my mind. My not having been here when I agreed to do so was a failing on my part. And I just want to say I will endeavor to do whatever it takes not to have this happen again. I want to thank you for your patience and support and the sincere kindness that I have received from the hearts of the listeners. You make it a pleasure to do this show, so let's get on with it. Where was I? Something about the psychopaths of oil, but they're just one more example of the collective madness of the culture of greed. Our precious wildlife, the least of which is more human than they, is destroyed by demons without conscience. Livelihoods are ruined. The wetlands are murdered. The beaches all look like Tripoli. As the horror movies continues to play and moves further and further out of control, the perpetrators accuse each other and their lawyers, weave the insulating net of motions filed and officials squeezed, so that in the end you will surely wind up paying them for the misfortune they had to suffer due to your dependency for oil and the inconvenience of selfishly working on your behalf and having to suffer the ignominy of it being suggested that somehow they were at fault while they have worked their bleeding fingers to the bone so that you and your thankless families and associates would have heat and light while they labored in the darkness without gratitude or love. Oh, Lord. Sorry. It's so true. We're so selfish and ungracious. Some of us offer so little support to these saints in our midst. They instigate wars in foreign lands to keep us safe from terrorism that they put so much time and trouble into manufacturing in order to steal the resources of the people they blamed it on so that we could have our oil and as only slightly increased quarterly fee. And let me pause and take a breath, get control of myself. I'm having a Glenn Beck moment. There's just so little justice in the world. These wonderful Israelis who suffered so much in the war and who still bear the stigma of having murdered tens of millions of Russians in the previous decades when they ran the Bolshevik machine. Then through a quiet industry of arm-twisting blackmail and threats, they managed to get their hands on a land full of people for a people who took the land. And now the Palestinians are refusing to migrate, no matter how many of them are killed and tortured. It's just not fair. They're forced to maintain the Palestinians in camps that would make a Nazi blush, and the vile mainstream press, which they control, doesn't seem to have the power to convince, while that tool of the devil, the internet, is used to tell the truth about them as if the truth ever did anyone any good. Government officials and heads of corporations do unspeakably evil things in order to bring about a global bloodbath of an Armageddon because there are too many useless eaters on the planet, and they really need the space, and people just don't want to go along with the program. Now Brazil, India, and Turkey and others are visiting with Iran while Russia arms Syria, and Turkey is putting up missile shields and saying no one is flying around near them on their way to attack Syria or Iran. Pakistan's not going along with the program, and the Chinese are probably involved too, and how are you supposed to wipe out all those vermin who look like tiny dots on the computer screen in the drone operator's control room when they've got all those mountains to hide in? Obviously, we need to go in there with a fleet of L-2350 wheel loaders and level the entire Hindu Kush. Bin Laden's ghost is in there somewhere directing zombie armies of terrorists who are cleverly disguised as women and children. The real problem is that any of these people living in these mountain hideaways could jump on a commercial plane in a moment, land at JFK a few hours later, and be in their room at the plaza shortly after having cocktails and a light supper while they put the finishing touches on their plans to blow up the Central Park bathhouse. I mean, boathouse. Oh, excuse me, Freudian slip. Anyway, all right, enough of that. I can do comedy, but it's not funny, is it? Now, to be honest, I don't know how this is all going to resolve itself, but I take comfort from the fact that no one else does either. I don't know what to do about it, and I also take comfort from the fact that no one else does either. I've got some ideas, and that's the point of this radio show and the blogs and whatever I engage in, because for me, everything we do serves something, even if it is in the service of confusion, self-interest, or any of the conditions that exist in this world. Everything adds to or benefits one of them. The most basic service provided on this planet is self-interest. Self-interest can be direct or indirect. Most people have a job, or I should say most people used to have a job, and the work of that job certainly benefits the employer, but hardly anyone takes a job for that reason unless they own the company. They take the job and do the job to serve their own interests. I'm not putting self-interest down. I'm just pointing it out. It's my intention, though I am not always successful, that my efforts serve the interests of the divine. As it so happens, this is self-interest too, because there's no state of being and no condition on earth that is more valuable and satisfying as the presence and the company of the divine. And the more one works to serve and to seek the ineffable, the more they come into the presence. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the divine has total and absolute control over everything at all times, and I'm just as certain that it exists. Others may not share that view, and that is in their self-interest, I suppose. There are two possibilities of self, the individual and the impersonal, or you might call it the superpersonal. Behind every individual self is the self that is common to all. The job of life is to consciously unite the individual self with the ineffable self. Others may not share this view, and that is in their self-interest, I guess, or so they think. Most people want to do what they want to do whenever they want to do it. The paradise of their mind is filled with pedestrian retreats. It's a sad affair, but it is within the conditions of the operation of the universe to allow people the latitude to do what they want to do and be who they want to be as karma runs through its eternal cycles of collection and dispersal. You can think of collection being the addition of dust to the windshield through which reality can be perceived. Without dispersal, the dust can build up far beyond the point at which one cannot see through the windshield. This same dust builds up on the mirror in which we see our true reflection until we no longer know who we are and we see a distorted image. The mirror can become completely obscured, and one then has no sense of reality at all and becomes immersed completely in the dream of the times. This becomes especially true in times of pervasive materialism like the one we're in now, and explains why so many people are asleep and unable to process what is happening to and around them. They're completely in the thrall of the forces of delusion. These forces are often manipulated by individuals of malevolent intent who operate in groups to shape and control human perception. They're active in government, finance, religions, the media, and wherever there's an opportunity for them to exercise control over human behavior for their own power and profit. These are the circumstances we find ourselves in today. We are surrounded on all sides by lies and conditions of fear that are generated by these same forces. Nearly all of the terror attacks of recent times have been orchestrated and carried out by these forces and then blamed on individuals from countries whose resources they covet. The principal players of the deepest negativity that is affecting you and your neighbors is the financial and corporate internationals, multinationals who are indistinguishable from the legendary vampires reputed to rise from their coffins to drink the blood of their victims. Their activities and intentions are no different, and the results are no different. These forces control the governments of the countries in which they operate, and the worst of them at the moment is the American government and the Israeli government, which also controls the American government. The country of Israel is not a country, but a criminal enterprise. It was created by the House of Rothschild in order to provide sovereign nation status to a band of psychopathic thugs. No more need be said concerning that. It's what it is and what they are. The treatment of the Palestinian people, who are the natural and original inhabitants of what is now called Israel, stands as irrefutable testimony to the barbaric and conscienceless nature of these Nazis. These demons in human form engineer terror attacks against themselves by launching firecrackers pretending to be rockets into empty lots of stolen land from which they ethnically cleanse the former residents. In order to justify attacking these people, they have locked away into ghettos, which become smaller and smaller until they are now the most populated areas on earth. The conditions in these camps would make a member of the Khmer Rouge blush. They predicate their despicable behavior upon a Holocaust, which they have transformed into a victim industry that serves as both an endless source of revenue and a whiplash of guilt against all criticism. Anyone who wants to know the truth about what happened in Germany during the war has only to read the official Red Cross report. They were there. They extensively cataloged what took place. They were there. End of story. On the other hand, these same international criminals are the descendants of the people responsible for tens of millions of deaths in the Soviet Socialist Republics due to their membership in the Cheka, in which they made up two-thirds of the members. This is irrefutably documented. The Red Cross was not allowed to enter the areas of continuous mass murder performed by these reptiles there, and so no help could be given. The Nazis did allow the Red Cross full access to their camps, so it appears I've been insulting them by comparing them to the other. What I'm saying here is true and backed up by hard data and the testimony of countless witnesses. We should all possess immense gratitude that there is a God and that the hour has come for resolution of so many horrible activities. The hour is at hand, and all evildoers should take heed of the opportunity to turn away from their former behavior. The window of mercy is going to close at some point, and that's going to be it. Wake up, or you will understand the true meaning of nightmare. Because you will wake up, like it or not. You will wake up, or you will be awakened by whatever means are necessary. The controlled lies of appearances that have dominated the human mind for so long is about to be undone. It has been in operation for so long that so many have come to believe that there is no God and that the temporal forces are all there is. Au contraire, God is a living, conscious force that permeates existence and which can alter the fabric of reality at any time. Existence is made out of the body of God, who also controls it at every level. Life is a test in which we are exposed to different possibilities. According to how we respond, so is our destiny written. Very soon, we're going to see direct evidence of the truth, which has been concealed behind appearances. It is going to come center stage. You can believe this or not. It makes no difference. It's on the way, and belief is coming with it. It is very difficult for the human mind to grasp that every thought is read, every word is heard, and every deed is seen, but so it is. This eternal and omniscient entity sees through our eyes and resides in our hearts and minds, whether we are aware of it or not. And it is coming not only outside of us, but inside of us, sweeping before it every negative thing, every hidden agent of the darkness, every lie and every obstacle is being driven from the inner planes. Humanity will see by degrees according to the willingness of each of us, dependent on the degree of our awareness, which is dependent upon the degree to which we have given our attention to what is real or unreal. It's a perfect system, and it's going to make itself known on all levels. What do you do? I don't know. I know what I do. I try to focus my awareness upon the presence of the only reality there is and remind myself in every moment that it is in everything that surrounds and fills me. I make it the centerpiece of my life, And I tell myself throughout each day that nothing, nothing is more important and nothing is more real. I go through my days and I tell myself that everything I do has to do with God, and everything that happens in my life is an expression of God operating in my life. Every event, every detail, no matter how seemingly inconsequential, is God interacting with my soul. Eventually, it becomes automatic. It becomes deeper and deeper. Its nature and its being is love. Love beyond the ken of the mortal mind. But he who strives with all his heart will attain it and no longer be mortal. It is the great pleasure of the divine to offer you the kingdom. It is up to you whether you accept. Free will is the greatest blessing or the most terrible of curses, depending on how you spend it. Forget what religion tells you and ignore everything but the voice within. If you cannot hear it, then strive harder. Strive with all your might and you cannot fail. Take it for what it's worth or ignore it. You can't get there unless it is the supreme and overriding concern of your being. The greater the intensity, the more rapid the speed. As the Bhagavad Gita states, success is speedy for the energetic. Well, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, may the light within come forth and encircle you with its protection and its love. And may you find your way home to the heart of the living truth. Until then, aloha. And aloha.
You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.